Welcome to the Saturday edition. Welcome to the Saturday edition, the Saturday program today. I want to start off by asking you to go to wiserliving.com. Go there, it's one word, W-E-I-S-E-R-living.com, and sign up for our newsletter. In the upper right-hand corner of the wiserliving.com website, you can click on Wiser Living TV, and that will take you to a YouTube page where you can subscribe so you'll not only get or have access to the current educational videos, but you'll also be informed when a new video is uploaded. Also, please go to, or actually like us on Facebook and subscribe to the Wiser Living Facebook page and get your free ebook there. So, wiserliving.com, subscribe. Wiserliving.tv, subscribe. Wiser Living Radio, no subscribing there. You want to follow. The left-hand side of the page, click on follow, please. And finally, facebook.com/wiserliving. Go there and like us there as well. So this is Dr. Bud Wiser, and I am coming to you directly from the Wiser Living headquarters. I would like to welcome each and every one of you who have taken the time out to tune in to this broadcast today, and your time is valuable. I am truly grateful for your participation, as I always am. And so over the next 29 minutes or so, I want to add to your wellness experience, and probably today I'm going to add to my own wellness experience. I'd like to start out today's program with a story. There are multiple stories when we talk about coffee, the origins of coffee, and I really like this discovery story. So sip on your coffee, and the ones who are sipping on water, go ahead and sip on that. It's lemon water, you can sip on that, but here we go. In the Ethiopian highlands, where the legend of Kaldi, the goat herd, originated, coffee trees grow today as they have for centuries. Though we will never know with certainty, there probably is some truth to this Kaldi legend. It is said that he discovered coffee after noticing that his goats, upon eating berries from a certain tree, became so spirited that they didn't want to sleep. They didn't want to sleep at night. Kaldi dutifully reported his findings to the abbot of the local monastery, who made a drink with the berries and discovered that it kept him alert for long hours of evening prayer. Soon the abbot had shared his discovery with the other monks at the monastery, and ever so slowly, knowledge of the energizing effect of the berries began to spread around. As word moved east and coffee reached the Arabian Peninsula, it began a journey which would spread its reputation across the globe. Today, coffee is grown in a multitude of countries around the world. Whether it is Asia or Africa, Central or South America, the islands of the Caribbean, or the Pacific, all can trace their heritage to the trees in the ancient coffee forests on the Ethiopian plateau. Nice, cool story, huh? I like that one. So coffee, or cafe, I think I'm pronouncing that right, K-A-F-F-E, or cup of joe, or coffee, which is K-A-F-F-I-E, or cave, K-A-H-V-E, the coffee conflict. I mean, even with the spelling. So is it healthy or is it not? That is the question. Or is it the question? I mean, there is so much information on both sides of the equation that it can be mind-boggling at times, just going through the research. And there's a lot of research on coffee because it is a huge industry which has played a large role in many countries for centuries. The history of coffee goes back to the 10th century. The origin of coffee is thought to have been in Ethiopia, basically from the story I just read you guys. But by the 16th century, coffee had reached the rest of the world, or the rest of the Middle East, I should say, which is actually Northeast Africa. Then it went to Persia, Turkey, the Horn of Africa, and then to Northern Africa, then to the Balkans, Italy, the rest of Europe, then to Indonesia, and then to America. The word coffee entered the English language in 1582 from the Dutch, who borrowed it from the Turks. The Turks borrowed the word from the Arabics, which is where the word Arabica came from. They just put an A on the end of Arabic, and it's Arabica. And finally, the Arabic borrowed the word from Ethiopia, where the first coffee or coffee plant was discovered. Now, despite the different flavors and varieties of coffee, there are really only two types of coffee, you know, Arabica, originally from Arabia, and Robusta. Over one half of Americans over the age of 18 drink coffee on a daily basis. Coffee drinkers average 3.5 cups of coffee every day. So when it comes to the caffeine content or concentration, coffee is the source of 75% of America's caffeine. And that's way more than any tea or soda or energy drink out there that's in the marketplace today. Now, when it comes to coffee shops, they are the fastest growing niche in the restaurant business. Now, coffee shops have about a 7% annual growth rate, which is pretty high. Starbucks, by far, America's coffee giant, is the third largest restaurant chain in the U.S., behind McDonald's and Subway. And some publications state that Subway is number one and McDonald's number two, but at any rate, they're like one and two, and then Starbucks is number three. Now, 90% of the world's coffee production actually takes place in Brazil, Vietnam, and Colombia. Finland, it's cold in Finland. Anyway, the people of Finland drink the most coffee per capita in the world. Brazil is at number 13, and the United States is ranked at number 25 per capita. But overall, the United States, they consume the most coffee. I mean, you hear a lot about fair trade, which is instituted to provide growers with better conditions and a higher cut of the profit. But fair trade coffee is still a small portion of the market, but it is the most popular fair trade commodity in the world. You know, for years, doctors have been warning about the negative health effects of drinking coffee. And I mean, and I'm one of them, just from the research for years and years and years. But, and I'm sure some of you have heard that it could raise your blood pressure, lead to heart disease, give you an ulcer, or give you blood sugar problems like diabetes. Drinking coffee in excess could very well lead to problems, just like most any other type of beverage or food, for that matter, when it's consumed in excess. But lately, study after study has failed to prove that moderate coffee consumption increases your risk for cardiovascular disease or any other. As a matter of fact, it is beginning to look like coffee, at least in moderation, may have some health-promoting property. You know, a study published in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition confirms earlier studies that coffee may actually reduce your risk of developing type 2 diabetes. In those studies, they are using plain black coffee. And all these studies are using plain black coffee. So if you are anyone you know who drink coffee, are adding creamers or sugar or other substances and flavorings, they are missing out on the therapeutic benefits based on these studies that are potentially harming their health. In saying that, coffee, when consumed in the right way, can be used effectively as part of your overall health and fitness plan. And although organic coffee as a whole may be therapeutic, caffeine, when it's isolated, can be very toxic to your body. And a lot of times if they burn the bean, they're increasing that caffeine content. The natural blend of polyphenol antioxidants and bioflavonoids and vitamins and minerals in coffee beans, they all work together to help neutralize the harsher effects of the caffeine. Now, there are thousands of different natural chemical compounds in your coffee brew. And science is now suggesting that the synergy between all of this can be nutritionally beneficial. So what about caffeine? You know, caffeine is the most widely used drug in the world, and it can be helpful, and it could also be harmful. It just depends on how you use it. Caffeine gives you a lift because it blocks the normal action of adenosine. Adenosine normally slows down your brain's activity, which means when that happens, you get sleepy. Also, caffeine levels will vary depending on the type of bean, roast or grind, and even brewing method. drip coffee actually has more caffeine than espresso because the brew time is much longer. And generally speaking, the finer the grind, the higher the caffeine content in the coffee. Now, if you have an issue with your adrenal gland or decreased adrenal function, which your adrenal gland sits on top of your kidney, and it kicks out a lot of hormones, an important hormone, you should be careful about drinking coffee because coffee can be hard on your adrenal gland. Now, coffee also has a diuretic effect. So if you have problems with electrolyte balance, you might want to avoid coffee. Now, if you have negative reactions to coffee, caffeine isn't always the bad guy here. You can't just blame it on caffeine. You could also be sensitive to some of the burnt sugars or oils produced during the roasting of the beans rather than the caffeine. So people who experience symptoms such as stomach cramping, heart palpitations, and other autonomic symptoms, and these types of symptoms are usually interpreted as caffeine sensitivity when they are actually more of an intolerance to a particular food that the person has consumed. Then there's also the possibility of mold and other contaminants triggering an allergy or an allergic response because coffee is a dried food. So you want to make sure that your coffee is the highest quality, and you want to make sure that your coffee is carefully produced. But overall, if you are healthy, you're a healthy individual, coffee is pretty well tolerated in the body. If you are pregnant, you should stay away from coffee. If you think you're pregnant, stay away from coffee. So let me give you a list I have here of research that supports coffee's health benefits. Let me see, I have it right here. A Japanese study revealed that coffee consumption exerted a protective effect on type 2 diabetes. Researchers also found that coffee doubles glucose intake, and when that happens, it will greatly reduce your blood glucose level. Another study suggested that coffee may cut your risk of Parkinson's disease. A 2011 study revealed that a yet unidentified mystery ingredient in coffee interacts with the caffeine to help protect you from Alzheimer's disease. A larger 2011 study of nearly 50,000 men found men who drank 6 cups of coffee per day had a 60% lower risk of lethal prostate cancer. Another study, a Japanese study, found that those who drank coffee daily or close to it had about a half the risk of getting a type of liver cancer called hepatocellular carcinoma than people who never drank coffee. Now, there are many more studies out there, and not every single study shows coffee to be beneficial, but the majority are quite positive. Now, when it comes to receiving therapeutic benefits from coffee, only quality coffee will do. So choose a organic coffee because coffee beans are the most heavily sprayed crops on the planet, bar none. You want to purchase whole coffee beans that smell and taste fresh and not stale. So if your coffee doesn't have a pleasant, pleasing aroma, it's likely rancid. You know, I said this earlier, but it bears repeating. If you are interested in the health benefits, the health benefits side, drink your coffee black, without cream, without sugar, without flavor. You know, adding sugar will spike your insulin levels, which leads to insulin resistance, and make sure that your water is pure. If you use a drip coffee maker, be sure to use non-bleached filters. The bright white ones are chlorine bleached, and some of that chlorine will end up in your coffee. Bleached filters are also notorious for being full of disinfection byproducts like dioxin. And dioxin is the principal ingredient in Agent Orange, which they sprayed in Vietnam during the Vietnam War. And dioxin is also the principal ingredient when they spray this defoliator on cotton plants to render the cotton free of the bulb. And so that cotton gets, I mean the cotton, the dioxin gets in the cotton. The cotton makes the shirt. You go buy the shirt, which is cost effective. It's not expensive. And so when your pores open up from heat, then that dioxin comes in and we have a problem that's never traced back to the doctor. So you want to purchase your whole coffee beans that smells and tastes fresh. Please be careful about the container you use as well. Avoid plastic cups and avoid styrofoam. And I think your best bet is glass and those ceramic travel mugs that you can drive around with in the car. You know, the average American drinks over 26 gallons of coffee a year. That's a lot of coffee. But anyway, coffee contains caffeine and over 300 other chemicals. Caffeine can be addictive. It can increase homocysteine. It can increase dopamine. It can increase cortisol and energy metabolism, and also norepinephrine. Yes, a lot of science words. So basically, it can contribute to adrenal fatigue because a lot of these hormones come from the adrenal gland. And that's why you may find yourself drinking additional cups because the effect wears off soon. And at high doses, caffeine can cause headaches and dehydration. A lot of times I ask people, do you have a headache? If it's a tension headache, then I say, okay, you need to look at your colon. If it's a migraine, then you're dehydrated. And so caffeine can, that's why caffeine can lead to, or cause a headache. Now, caffeine may interact with the mineral calcium, which is vital for bone health. Moderate coffee intake will not harm you, won't harm you if you're a young adult, but it can put elderly women at risk of bone fractures and osteoporosis because coffee causes interactions with calcium by potentially decreasing the body's ability to absorb calcium. Now, 99% of the calcium in your body is found in your bones and your teeth. And the National Institutes of Health, they cite that calcium is necessary for muscle contraction, it's necessary for blood vessel contraction, it's necessary for blood clotting, and the releasing of hormones. So that's food for thought. Now, what about your Keurig? I see you and I go treat patients. I see some of these machines in their homes, and the K-Cup. You know, Keurig.com, if you go there, they state, and I quote, "Once your Keurig home brewer has been primed, you cannot empty the water from the inside." In other words, the internal tank of the brewer cannot be drained. So the rubber tubing and the internal tank of the Keurig cannot be drained, which sets up a situation or an area for bacteria and mold to grow. And I know most people say, well, it's hot water, but the coffee's antibacterial action may not be enough to kill those microbes that are floating through that system. Now, the K-Cup is a composite plastic, which is not good. The lid is made up of or has polyethylene coated foil. That's aluminum. And we should be avoiding aluminum. Obviously, you should be avoiding that because of what? Aluminum has been linked to Alzheimer's. The reusable K-Cups are better than the ones with the plastic foil or aluminum foil, but you still have to deal with the stagnant water issue in the water tank itself where the microbes are. Now, the harmful effects of caffeine are sometimes harder to find. There's sometimes harder to find information on them than all of the reported positives out there in the marketplace. But the other side of the coin, as research goes, states that more than 4 cups of coffee, and we're talking 8-ounce cups, had a 21% increase of an early death. Caffeine consumption may raise blood pressure, especially in those already suffering from hypertension, and those who don't normally consume caffeine. Another study showed that people who binge on caffeinated beverages increase their risk for gout flare-ups. Another study out of the University of Alabama showed women who consume a lot of caffeine are 70% more likely to develop incontinence or bladder incontinence. Another study from the University of Nevada School of Medicine showed that caffeine can reduce a woman's chances of becoming pregnant by 27%. Now, other studies out there show that caffeine consumption can lead to increased anxiety, depression, and the need for anxiety medication. It increases the amount of sugary beverages consumed by people. Caffeine inhibits collagen production in the skin. You know, all this leads to a fact that even though caffeine is the most researched substance on the planet, and there's some unbiased data with, you know, reliable information, you should be careful of your daily consumption because caffeine depletes, and this is my main issue with it. It depletes the B vitamins and it increases the release of excess cortisol, which leads to fat storage, which means weight gain. So, or weight gain due to fat storage. So if you are drinking coffee, you need to consume extra food matrix, B vitamin, B complex vitamins, and minerals as well. So for those of you who are interested in basically coffee alternatives, let me give you a short list. You know, number one would be hot maca and warm almond milk with a little raw honey, organic raw honey. That would be a good way to start your morning, or a roasted dandelion herbal coffee blend. Now, somebody going, what? What in the world is that? Or maybe matcha. I think it's matcha green tea. Or this one I like is lemon water. And I like it because it's not like coffee, number one, but it'll definitely kickstart your system. I mean, really get your detoxification centers functioning right off the bat. Or if you just have to have coffee, make sure it's an organic single origin coffee. Now, then there's decaf. And we hear a lot about decaf, and I've been hearing a lot about it over the years, but decaffeinated coffee may be an unhealthy choice for your body as a whole. Because, first of all, decaffeinated beverages still have some caffeine in them. And secondly, which means it's not really decaf, still has a little caffeine in it. Secondly, chemical solvents and carbon dioxide are used to extract the caffeine out of the bean, which is an unnatural process and is going to leave some of those chemicals left behind. So if you're going to drink coffee, go for the original caffeinated kind if you're just going to do it anyway. And in conclusion here, you know, coffee interferes with your body's ability to use vitamin B6 or pyridoxine, B9 or folate, and B12. I mean, these nutrients are important in order to keep your homocysteine levels in the healthy range. Elevated homocysteine levels are associated with a wide range of devastating health conditions like cardiovascular disease, which earlier there was research saying that if you, you know, drink so many cups of coffee, it would reduce that. But if it's depleting the B, you're still going to have the issue. You know, B6 is one of the nutrients that is required to metabolize homocysteine so that it doesn't build up in the blood and begin to damage the lining of the blood vessel. Coffee stimulates your adrenal gland, and the hormones that activate your fight or flight response come from your adrenal gland. So, you know, it's like if the lion that's chasing the gazelle or whatever is getting ready to chase the gazelle sees the lion, it takes off. It's that adrenaline is coming from the adrenal glands, that cortisol that gives it the fuel to get away. And once it gets away and all that stuff comes out of your adrenal glands, it comes out of your bloodstream where it doesn't affect you. So if your adrenal hormones are stimulated too often, like this fight or flight system that's happening, you know, too often, if that happens, and it's bound to happen if you are a daily coffee drinker, your adrenal glands may eventually burn out. If your adrenals no longer function effectively, your adrenal glands will go in search of a replacement hormone, which happens to be progesterone. Progesterone will lead to having too much estrogen inside your body, and estrogen dominance leads to osteoporosis. You know, coffee also raises the acidity level of your blood. Now, I know there's a controversy on both sides: is coffee acidic or is it alkaline? And you know, I think that is not a number one issue if you're drinking. If you're drinking anything besides water, your acidity level has to raise up And usually when you drink water, it kind of like balances that out, right? So if it's going to raise your acidity level of your blood, causing calcium to be pulled from the bones and calcium pulled from the teeth for use as a buffering agent. So you increase acid levels, the body automatically wants to buffer it. So if it doesn't have the raw material in the body, it's going to go for where it's stored, and that's going to be your bones and teeth. The combination of estrogen dominance and high blood acidity puts you at an even greater risk for osteoporosis. In fact, researchers, established an undeniable link between coffee consumption and hip fracture. So my first recommendation for a healthy beverage is always pure water. Most people that know me, water is it. At one time, that's all we had was water. I guess that was in the 9th century. But in the 10th century, coffee, came on the market, came on the scene. Water is the best choice, or the best choice that you're ever going to be able to make. But if you are looking to kick your coffee habit, to improve your health, a cup of high-quality loose tea can be a great alternative. So whatever you decide to do, avoid at all costs substituting fruit juice or soda for coffee, because it is much worse for you. The sugar, especially fructose, is a far more serious metabolic poison than coffee. If you do choose to drink coffee, at least switch to an organic variety and take plant-sourced B-complex vitamins, including B12, which most of the time is from an animal source. So, wow, this information is to me, it's you got the pluses and you got the minuses, and so depending on what camp you are in, will determine how you feel about this coffee, what I call a coffee thing. And we just know that, coffee's been here for a long time, and it's going to be here for a long time. So remember, in saying that, remember, let your food be your medicine, and let your medicine be your food. Think on that for a while. This is Dr. Budweiser, and we'll see you next time.